Hey guys, Gavin here. I'm just about walking my dogs, and I know we haven't put out an episode in a while, and I've been really busy, and also it's there's not much to talk about, and so I was out walking my dogs, and I just kind of felt I want to throw something out there. I didn't even think about this. This is like it just popped into my brain, so I figured why not. Just to talk about some of the things racking my brain, some things that I've wanted to have conversations about, but we haven't really had time on the pod to do it. So apologies if there's any background noise. I'm literally walking outside. I think the best place to start is just last episode, I think, was before the New England game. So it's been quite a while. I think it was the Oscar Pareja, a thorough assessment of Oscar Pareja, where we talked about the pros and cons. And we talked a lot about on the field stuff. And we said overall, we felt that mostly he was a pro, right? I think we had multiple pros, a couple cons. The cons were attack and something else. And then pros were we defend, we win games, we make playoffs, yada, yada. But I think it was a good kind of... Here's where we're at with Oscar at this moment in time. And since then, you know, we and that was the international break. We come back and we have a New England draw, not a loss, we had a draw. What did we do? Next was we beat Houston, lost to Cincinnati, and then we just beat Nashville in the Open Cup. So a pretty up and down few weeks. And it's been the same, really. It's kind of hard to come up with new talking points. There's a couple things I'm going to chat about here. I'm sure I won't be talking long, and hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm getting closer to the road. But basically, I think the first place I want to start is we're hard to watch nowadays. You know, I feel like, yeah, we give our all and we create a couple big chances each match, but I mean that's most teams. But in the attacking half, we're very frustrating to watch. There's not a lot of movement. Facundo Torres is coming deep. Cara is not showing. Cara he's a pivot. He's a wall. He stands up at the top. He doesn't drop deep. He wants to receive the ball in the feet, so he will have his back facing the goal, but he won't move towards you. And so there's no space opening up there. He's marked tight, and you have to fizz the ball into him, and then he has to have a good first touch. And that's okay, you know, so that keeps the defenders back. And, you know, there's pros and cons to that, but when there's a defensive midfielder floating around in front of him, it's hard to get the ball into him in the first place, and I think that's where we're seeing some issues with him specifically. I've seen some people done with Cara. I don't think it's necessarily all him. I think it's partially the system. But he doesn't help himself by not dropping deep. He just stands there and waits for the ball. And so it's Cara, it's Facundo, who's not making runs in behind a lot. I think his best games for us has been when he's been making those vertical runs and getting in behind the defense and then dropping deep and getting the ball. I think of the Toronto match where I felt he had a good game. We would get him up on the left side and getting him in there. I thought he had a pretty good game there. Miami, I mean, he was all over the place, obviously, and scored the goal, but he was making some runs in behind, too. He's getting better with time. I'm not too worried about him, but he needs some help sort of thing. That's my thought process there. And then, I mean, we had Tesho on the right against Nashville. We've had Urso on the right at times. We've had Mulroney on the right recently. I think we had Mulroney on the right a couple games in a row. Obviously can't play in the Open Cup, so he's not featuring there. Which is interesting. You know, Mulroney, I don't really like him inverted. I like him up and down. But he's been okay. But he provides no threat in behind. He provides no goal-scoring threat. He is, again, a player who's going to help us get to the final third and keep it there. But we don't have the player other than Pereira to put the ball into the box. And this is something that we've had issues with for years now. And it's hard to keep talking about the same issues over and over again. So that's part of the reason why we're struggling to put out episodes. What more is there left to say, right? So attacking wise, it's all the same. You've heard the spiel a million times. What left is there to say? That's kind of where I'm at with our attack. It's not fun to watch. We don't create a lot of chances. Look at the Cincinnati match. Look at the Nashville match. Pedro Galese bailed us out of both of those matches multiple times. They're creating multiple chances on goal, and they just weren't finishing at a high rate, and Galese was saving us big time in both of those games. And the Cincinnati match, we leave 1-0 loss. Maybe could have been a draw. I mean, we were horrid on the day, but could have been a draw if we were, you know, a little bit better thanks to Galese. We just didn't, you know, we weren't better. And then against Nashville, he had a great game. I saw some people saying we should have been winning due to some poor finishing. I think Cara got closed down well by the goalkeeper, Panico. I thought he had a good game overall, Panico. So I'm not too worried about Cara missing that chance. It's a pretty difficult chance. Snatched at it. And then there was Urso. He's got to be hitting the target. But when you create one chance like that, there's always the opportunity for a player to miss hit a shot. Mauricio Pereira is leaning for the ball. Again, if you create two chances, there's every chance that the player just isn't – the ball's not going to fall right. We can't just create two chances a game and hope that we're going to score. That's just not how this sport works. So we need to be creating more chances. Look at how many chances it took before Cincinnati scored on us. That's how many chances we need to be making a game. So that's kind of – and we've been saying that again. I'm saying things over in the midst of saying there's not much left to say on the attack. So I'll leave it there. I think a good talking point that I've wanted to bring up to the guys but haven't had a chance to sit down with them is Galese. He's had a couple monster performances, so it's kind of a weird time to bring this up. Maybe a good time. I'll just say it because I don't know how to word it better than what I'm about to say. I am very, very, very okay with losing him. I am very okay with it. He's an international goalkeeper. We only have so many international slots. He's an expensive goalkeeper. He's getting up. I'm not worried about his age. I was about to say he's getting up there in age. I'm not worried about his age. He's what, 33? Like that. He's got 3-4 more years left in him. He's a very good goalkeeper. Do not get me wrong in the slightest. If we keep him, I'd be fine. I'd be fine on the right money. He's not a DP. Our funds are probably limited on TAM considering Antonio Carlos is a heavy TAM player. We spend a lot of our TAM each season on Antonio Carlos because he would be a DP center back if not for TAM that we buy him down. I'm very lukewarm on if we lose him or not. If his contract runs out end of season, it's okay. It's okay. And I've wanted to have this conversation with the guys because I'm sure Chase would say, I don't know about that. Or Adam, I don't know about that. I know Daniel would agree with me. Daniel and I think a lot alike. That's why he's on the pod. But let me just walk you through this, I guess. He's a goalkeeper. He's an international goalkeeper. So we don't have him for multiple games a year, which has hurt us in the past, putting Staz Jafar in, putting Grinwis in, putting others in. So we don't have him all the time. He's international. He takes up an international slot, which we've had to trade resources to get international slots. Up to 200 something GAM, or we did 175 GAM and then a third round draft pick or something like that, which third round draft picks are literally nothing. They are 50,000 in value. So like it was a good use of the third round draft pick to keep some of our GAM, because GAM is much more important than a third round draft pick. So that's good on our front office, but we're still trading away assets to get extra international slots. When in all reality, there are multiple goalkeepers in this league who are American who would make many of the saves he makes. My take on goalkeepers is that they can only save what's offered to them, and all they can really do is have good positioning, good reflexes, and good agility. In terms of keeping the ball out of the net, good reflexes, good positioning, good agility. And then the rest is up to the shot. Really. That's how I view it. And if you can find a goalkeeper who has those things, who is American, and less money than Galese, we can redistribute resources somewhere else. I am very okay with losing him. It's not the end of the world. And with our scouting department and their record of wins versus losses in terms of the transfer market, I'm okay with it. I think they'd be able to locate a goalkeeper who is not an international, who would be just as good as Galese. I mean, Joe Bendik was what? Wasn't he goalkeeper of the year or whatever? Or he was close to it? I mean, he was a very active goalkeeper at that time. But, like, we can't be afraid to lose good players. We can't be afraid to lose any players, really. You know, we lost Nani, and we got Facundo Torres. Now we lost Dike and got Cara. And some would say that was the wrong player to replace him with. Which, right now, I would currently agree with that statement, but that's down to the way we use him. I think he's a great striker in the right system. We're just not using him in the way that best suits him. And yeah, we could have used Gaston Gonzalez, and that probably would have changed the equation, and Benji's been injured, and, you know, Jake Mulroney's new, and there's a lot of factors there. But we can't be afraid to lose players. Is really my big takeaway from the Galese conversation. I would love to hear what the guys think. I'd love to hear what my listeners think. Because there's a lot of, I don't want to say fear, it's not the right word, nervousness maybe, around losing him. As if any goalkeeper that comes in to replace him is just a dud, is just nothing. I mean, like, there are multiple goalkeepers around the league who would be good enough to replace him. That's just how I see the Galese thing. So that's definitely a talking point that I've wanted to have, a discussion, I should say, that I've wanted to have, but haven't had the chance to. That's the one that comes to the front of my mind. The other one is maybe discipline from Robin Jansen. It's getting frustrating seeing him get yellow cards willy-nilly. He has the... reputation now with referees. It's clear. He yells at you and he's getting a yellow, or you're giving him a yellow as a referee. I mean, it's the same way that for Colorado have a player named Diego Rubio, and he gets yellow cards all the time for yelling at refs, whereas other players don't, and it's just because of his reputation. So Janssen's in that category now. He's getting yellow cards for fun, and we're having to shift in shape because he can't stop yelling at refs. And the fact that it's gone on this badly, I mean, I think he has the most yellow cards in the league. It's gone on this long. I don't see the point. I don't see the pro here. I don't see the positive of yelling at the ref. And to me, that's on the coaching staff. Maybe not specifically Pareja, but also, honestly, on the players around him too, to not tell him to shut up. They're just letting him have at it at the ref. And you know, he's standing up for his guys, I get it. We players like other players who will stand up to refs and other teams for them. I get it. But at the end of the day, if you don't get the call, you're not getting the call, and there's no point in yelling at the ref. You can have a discussion with him and say, hey, that was wrong, and next time, you know, call it right. And this is why I got the ball. Or, and I get it. It's heat of the moment. Like, that is so, like, in a perfect world scenario, you would just get up and say, hey, are you kidding me, ref? Like, that was wrong. I get it. I get it. But the discipline issues have to stop. And that is a huge, huge issue under Pareja since he's come in. I would love to see the red card stats. I would love to see them. It feels like we have some of the most since he's come in. Like, so what, 2020, 2021, 2022? Who has the most red cards since 2020, basically? I wouldn't be surprised if we're up in the top three, at least. You know, and again, there's a narrative that we're an aggressive team who loses our heads. Whenever people ask me, you know, because I join other podcasts to talk about Orlando City when we're playing them. I was asked by a friend of mine who does a Houston Dynamo podcast. And he said, what are some tips to the game for Houston to win on the Orlando City side? And I said, get in our head. That was one of my tips. I said, get in our head. Because we can absolutely lose our mind if you get in our head. Be physical. Try and, you know, get the ref to, like, you know, not give yellow cards when he should have. You have to get a little lucky there, honestly, from Houston. And Houston was very physical. And to be fair, we kept our cool. And we came out of that with a 2-1 win. But there are plenty of examples where we have lost it. And we've already had that discussion as well. But discipline around referees, we have to improve. We have to. And I thought actually against Nashville in a game where the ref had a couple of moments where we could have been like, are you kidding me? You know, we're losing. There was the slide tackle from Benji. And he got the ball clearly. It wasn't a reckless challenge, and the ref still called it. We could have circled him, been like, are you kidding me? And absolutely lost it there, but we didn't. So fair play to the boys there. But overall, I'm looking at Janssen. He has to stop. He has to. Especially with Carlos returning from injury and being out. We could have used Janssen against Cincinnati. We could have. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get how we are just, what's the point in yelling at the ref? So definitely discipline is something I've wanted to touch on. What are the other trends we're seeing, though? There's nothing different. We're the same team each week, and it's hard to podcast about that. If we were chopping and changing, but if we were seeing progress, if we were seeing solutions to problems, if we were, you know, trying new things, I would absolutely be all over that. Where's the progress? We're an average team. We win games very close, and we lose games very close. We play on the margins. It's not fun to watch. And I watch every single game. I get nervous. I chew my fingernails. I pace up and down. I was hiding away from the TV screen when we got to sudden death penalties. I love this team, but they're so frustrating to watch in the attack. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of where I'm at with this team. And I don't know where we go from here. We have a couple winnable games coming up. And I posed that tweet saying, how many points do you think we're going to get? from, I don't even remember, Cincinnati away. We play Miami at home. We play somebody else at home, and we play Colorado away. How many points are we going to get? A lot of 12s, 9s, 10s, 7s. I put 5. I put 5. I put a win, 2 draws, and a loss. That is not what a good team does. A good team does not struggle around Open Cup fixtures. Fun fact, you know how we went 120 minutes in the Open Cup, and then we lost to Dallas, and everything was okay because we went 120 minutes in the Open Cup. Miami played the same day we did, also played 120 minutes in the Open Cup, and won their game 2-1. So no, it's not an excuse to say the Open Cup. It's okay because we rotated for the Open Cup. So whoever we play next, who we should beat, all 4 of those games were winnable that I posted. I don't even know who it is. I'm not confident that we beat them, whoever it is. It could be SKC, who are freaking awful this season, and I wouldn't be confident that we'd beat them. And maybe I'm just a negative Nelly, but somewhere in that 4-game stretch, I see 1 win, 2 draws, and a loss. And that's, I don't even know if we're a playoff team. So that's kind of what's been racking my brain. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys were able to hear this. Hopefully the cars weren't too loud. If you're listening to it, you would have been able to hear it. I'll probably listen to it a little bit. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear, you know, in the group chat that's always popping. I love our group chat, really. You guys have some great discussions in there. On Twitter, I don't really use Instagram, so I can't say that. Twitter, definitely let me know what you guys think. It's maybe it's unpopular. Maybe I'm just a negative Nelly and I see things in such a dark way and I need to have hope. But right now I have 0 hope for this season. We struggle against New York Red Bulls. I will be at that game praying we play them smarter than we played them earlier in the season. Because we played them stupid earlier in the season. We fell right into their trap. And that's where my hope is, the Open Cup. Figure out a way to beat New York Red Bulls, and then we're the favorites in the final. Either against SKC or against a USL club. Open Cup or bust for me this season. I don't see it any other way. We're not doing anything in the playoffs if we make it, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't make it. And if Pareja doesn't make it, I think that is grounds to lose his job, personally. He will, because he's Pareja, and he never misses the playoffs. Although, actually, I think in Dallas's 3rd season, he missed the playoffs with them. I think it was Dallas's 3rd season that he missed the playoffs with them. We're in our Pareja 3rd season. So who knows? I hope not. I hope we make the playoffs. But I don't think we'll do anything in there. Unless we see massive change, we see a big signing come in, or the players figure it out and click with his system. So that's where I'll leave you. Hope you guys enjoyed this kind of 25-minute walk and talk. And hopefully things change. And we'll try and have an episode soon. again, I've just been slammed. So these next few weeks, I should be slowing down and I'll be able to sit down and record with the guys one night. So keep an eye out for that. Sorry we haven't posted. Just again, I've been very busy. And yeah, vamos Orlando.